In the case of U.S. versus Jahar Tsarnaev, prosecutors have spent the last month presenting some haunting evidence against the admitted Boston Marathon bomber. It seems to go beyond what the government needs to do to convict him and builds the case that he should be sentenced to death. Today in Day 15, as the government called its final witness, they returned to the most haunting of all, the violent death of 8-year-old Martin Richard near the finish line. From the Moakley Federal Courthouse, this is Finish Line, inside the Boston Marathon bombing trial. I'm David Boeri for WBUR.
And I'm Kevin Cullen from the Boston Globe.
Kevin, the government closed its case today, and they did it with someone described as being 53 inches tall and 69 and a half pounds.
You know, David, in theory, there is no such thing as a hierarchy of victims. Obviously, the family of Lingzi Liu, the 23-year-old Chinese graduate student who was killed at the finish line, the family of Crystal Campbell, a 29-year-old woman from Medford, so loved by her friends that she was a bridesmaid 17 times. Those families' loss was everything that the Richards family was. But sitting there today and listening to this, there's something about the smallness, the innocence of Martin Richard, that it was no accident that the last piece of evidence put forward by the prosecution before they arrested was the autopsy results for Martin Richard.
I watched in utter fascination and trepidation as a big box was moved from the prosecution table to the witness table. It was opened up, and there they presented his clothing, item by item. It was stunning because the first thing that came up was a green jersey, and I realized how stiff it was. It had been starched and stiffened with Martin's blood.
Yeah, and then this image of this little kid from Boston, he had layers on that day, and the layers were his favorite sports teams. Under his Boston Celtics green jersey, he had a New England Patriots T-shirt. And that T-shirt was also stained with blood. And both of those shirts had, you know, holes in them. And as the doctor explained, Dr. Henry Niels, the holes in those pieces of clothing corresponded with holes in Martin Richard's body.
They actually showed the fragments, the metal that had been pulled out of his body. But I thought even more horrifying the fact that there was black plastic embedded in his tissue along with wooden splinters, metal, bone, and you could see some of the jacket had melted. They couldn't tell whether he was wearing pants or shorts. Now, there's a tactical factor here in making Martin Richard the story because the death of a child is an aggravating factor that can lead to the death penalty.
Absolutely, and there was quite a bit of to and fro when the defense got up there before Henry Neil took the stand and talked about the autopsy. There was an FBI photographer on the stand, and the defense went out of its way to point out, and it seemed like just splitting hairs, but they were saying that the photograph that shows Jahar Tsarnaev putting the bomb down, he didn't put it directly in back of the Richard kids. They really wanted that out there. That was something they pressed on.
The defense insists that there is no proof whatsoever that Jahar intentionally put it there. Of course, I will say before we move on, when you use a bomb, the bomb is indiscriminate, and the bomb itself and the bombing of people shows, by definition, you are indifferent to who the targets are.
And there was, Dave, you probably remember when that image went up on the screen, there's that picture of the Richard family standing there, smiling, enjoying the marathon, and lurking right in back of them, just off to the side of them, is Jahar Tsarnaev, and it's a haunting image.
It took 51 minutes of testimony, Kevin. 51 minutes. Almost half the jury was crying. One of the most unforgettable scenes was to look at the restaurant manager. She had pressed herself back into her chair like a driver expecting impact, just to brace herself for what she knew was coming. The two women to her right were both crying. There was a woman in the back row who was hiding, shielding her face from everyone, crying. All of a sudden, the juror with her back just braced and just taut face, suddenly she started crying. Now, we've been talking about this throughout the trial. This is the conviction stage. And a lot of the evidence that's being presented here goes beyond proving there was a murder. We know the murder. When you go to that detail, every injury cataloged. The questions asked, as in Lindsay Liu, was her brain functioning? Mm-hmm. Was she alive? Could she think? How was the pain? All of that stuff brings us into that second phase, which is supposed to be separate and apart.
Technically, legally, we are not in the penalty phase, but it felt like it really began in earnest today. The other thing that was really striking and poignant, David, is that the last piece of testimony that was elicited by the prosecution in the form of Nadine Pellegrini, her words were, "How old was Martin Richard?" And Dr. Henry Neilds answered, "He was 8 years old." Those were the last words that the prosecution left with the jurors in this case. He was 8 years old.
So we're going to the second phase. Take a look at what the prosecution established here. Looking back at what they've done over the last 15 days, what do you think?
I think that of the 17 charges that carry the death penalty, I think he will be convicted on all 17. I'll be very surprised, David, if there's anything he is not convicted of. The defense did, I think, a decent job pushing so much things towards Tamerlan with the fact that the judge was not going to let them go there. But the specter of Tamerlan did hang in the air because of the work of the defense team.
And of course, Tamerlan's dead. And this case against him is overwhelming. It's also overwhelming against his younger brother. The defense won't be surprised by the fact that he's going to be convicted. They're not going to be surprised by that. Obviously, they brought Judy Clark into this case because they knew he was going to be convicted, and her reputation is saving people from the death penalty.
Right.
I do think that there were a number of things today, which a couple of them we can talk about, showing the defense at work because they work by casting doubt. It was interesting because they've wanted, of course, to point out to everyone, to make it clear to everyone that Tamerlan is the lead actor here. I thought they made a pretty good case that, in fact, Zahar was nowhere near his brother when his brother was in New Hampshire
buying BBs,
and he wasn't near his brother when his brother was at the Macy's in Saugus, the suburb of Boston, buying a pressure cooker.
Right. I agree. I think the defense was very effective in raising questions about who assembled the parts of the bomb and who assembled the bomb. It was clear that the prosecution could not prove where the bombs were made, who actually was sitting at what chair, or who wasn't actually making the bomb. And they danced around it. They hinted at it. They never asserted it. The problem is, we go back to the testimony about Martin Richard being killed. And how does the jury get beyond the emotional aspect of that? Does the jury really care who assembled the bomb, who bought the pressure cooker, who bought the BBs that were put in it, when they have this photographic evidence showing that Zahar Zinayev put the bomb in back of the Richard family and killed Martin Richard?
Well, that's,
I don't know if a jury can go beyond that.
That's certainly the joint venture theory. It's the first count is conspiracy. So if they're conspirators, they're both culpable for each other's actions. But we haven't seen what the defense is going to put into play, really. Judy Clark told those jurors, we only disagree with the prosecution in why.
Right.
We haven't gone into this dysfunctional family Tsarnaev story. We haven't gotten into a lot of stuff. There were people who just adored this kid, Zahar Tsarnaev, who seem to be reasonable people. We're not talking about the tin hat crowd or whatever. Teachers that thought he was a wonderful kid. I remember the next day after the shootout, and this teacher, guidance counsel, said, it's not him. It can't be him. There's something there.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say we see it in the court.
Right.
He looks impassive in court.
I was hoping this today might be the day. I guess if you can't show emotion, if you can't show anything, when you listen to the sort of the dissection of an 8-year-old boy, is there anything that could be said in this courtroom that would change that?
So the defense has begun its case. They'll be back tomorrow. For me, the image of the day is looking over and seeing Bill and Denise Richard in the far corner, hunkered down, protecting each other. And I think, God bless them. You just cannot imagine the agony, but stoically sitting there and having the photo, seeing the jurors looking at their own monitors, seeing the autopsy, and seeing their child's clothes. I mean, that has to be beyond.
You're sitting there looking at these people who created this boy in an act of love, listening to him being destroyed by this act of hate. And I think today was probably, at least personally, it's the most emotional moment watching that. Yeah. You hear that phrase all the time, getting sick to your stomach. I really did feel ill today at one point midway through the doctor's descriptions.
And
I was ill.
I don't think it's unfair to call it inflammatory.
It is inflammatory.
It is inflammatory. It was the prosecution strategy. And the prosecution is on, they may be on God's side here, you know, looking for justice, but this is their choice.
No question.
To go to a death penalty case, to put all those families in the room as medical examiners showed photos of their dead relatives. The government made that decision toward the goal of sentencing him to death.
That's exactly what they're supposed to do in a death penalty case. They are basically expected to inflame a jury and bring a jury to a point that this person deserves the death penalty.
But it brings us to the end of day 15 of the federal death penalty trial of Jihar Zinayev. From the Moakley Federal Courthouse in Boston, this is Finish Line inside the Boston Marathon bombing trial. I'm David Boeri for WBUR.
And I'm Kevin Cullen from the Boston Globe.
Join us again tomorrow.
Finish Line inside the Boston Marathon bombing trial is a co-production of WBUR and the Boston Globe. New episodes of the podcast will be released multiple times a week throughout the trial after court lets out for the day. You can listen at WBUR.org and at BostonGlobe.com, or you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, where new episodes will appear as soon as they're released. Go to the podcast section of iTunes and search Finish Line to subscribe. Thanks for listening.